couple things a little bit different to this morning. If we could pull all those stands back just because that way I have some space. We're going to be team teaching this morning. We are so excited to be with you. And just a couple of announcements before we do that. Number one, if you're a visitor, we want to say welcome. Right behind your card, your chair, is a visitor card. Bring that to the front desk, the welcome desk. They have a gift for you. And we have started something called First Steps at Hope Community, which is a membership class. It's going to be an ongoing class. So if you're interested in being involved in any capacity, nursery, reach team, ushers, the worship team and the sound booth, or just want to get a better idea about Hope Community, it's called First Steps. It meets in the first classroom every single week. And so we have started the class, and then we're going to continue. And there's a 101 class, a 102, 103, 104. You can jump in next Sunday. It starts 9:15 to 9:45 every single Sunday. And what it does after the 4 weeks allows you to just know the heart of Hope Community and become a member here at Hope Community. And so we've started those back up, and we hope to just continue them through September and January. I mean, September and what comes after September, October. So I'm doing great this morning, so it will be fun. And so those are First Steps. It meets every Sunday, 9:15, and you just jump on in and learn how to find your giftings, the heart of Hope Community. This week, they talked on the basics and the essentials of their faith. And so, and then after service day is a nacho sale, so grab some yummy nachos. We've got tons and tons of nachos. They're going to help us to pay for the air conditioning bill. We haven't gotten it in yet, but I'm a little bit nervous of what that bill is going to look like. And so so we want to just be on top of that and steward that well. And we want to say this, after service today with today's message, being on finances, we want to offer, Pastor and I, we're going to offer a question and answer time. So if you want to stay after service and just talk to us personally, or if you just want to talk to us like in a round table, hey, this is my situation. We don't want to be in your business, but we know that God is intentional about us stewarding our finances well. So if you want to do that after service, we will stay here until the last person leaves this morning. And even if you're joining us online, I know a couple of people are, just write some questions. You can call us. You can talk to us. Can we pray this morning for this particular lesson, and then we'll get started. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Lord Jesus, God, we thank you that we are able to be stewards, God, of the finances and the resources that you have given us. I pray this morning that we would be intentional, that we wouldn't just intend to give or intend to save or intend to spend. We do that well. Our intent to invest, Lord God, but rather, God, we would make an account for every single dollar that you have given us financially, and that we would use that with wisdom. God, I know we are talking to a very diverse crowd of people with all kinds of different circumstances. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak a now word into their lives. God, that you would help us, God, no matter what position we find ourselves, to be good financial stewards. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. We are excited. How many people are good with their money? You're good with your money. How many people would say, I'm not so good and I need some help? Okay, so either way, this is a crazy story. So we knew we were preaching on finances this morning. So like about Wednesday, or no, maybe it was Thursday night, I was sitting at the our kitchen counter, and I had my laptop out and said, Tez, what are you doing? I said, I'm working on my finances. I said, I got to make sure. And you know, crazy enough, finances will just creep up on you. We had a bill we didn't even know. You know how the cable bill will be like, here's a great promotional deal, and it costs $100 a month. And all of a sudden, 3 months later, it's like, just joking, it's $250 a month. And we had one of those bills, and I was like, let me call them right now. And so I'm on the phone for an hour, you know, waiting on hold for, through all the different, but I got my bill right back down to where I needed it to be. And so this morning, we're going to talk about stewarding what God has given us well. And so in Psalms 24 in verse 1, it says, the earth is the, y'all say that for me, the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and those who dwell in. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So everything is the Lord's. When you leave here for heaven, we're going to be intentional about that in a couple of weeks, talking about making sure that's an intentionality that we're going to heaven. But when you leave, it's all the Lord's. And so the finances that we have in this moment is just a steward for a little bit of time. And we're called to steward God's money. In Luke 16 and verse 11, it says this, one who is faithful in very little is faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? So the bottom line is that our finances, the funding that the Lord has allowed to come into our lives, is from God. But we are to steward that faithfully and honestly and righteously and with integrity. And so this morning, we're going to give you four ways. So if you're taking notes this morning, it's in your bulletin as well. We're going to give you four ways to look at your money honestly, to look at what God has given and say, how can I be intentional? And again, we talked about intending to. I think all of us would say we're intending to save for our retirement. But how many people are really doing that? How many people are really looking at their finances and saying, I am looking not just in the presence, like, I can't wait to go out eat after church, but you're not looking at the bill that you have 2 weeks from now or the thing that's going to come into your future 5 years from now that you had no idea about. So this morning, if you will tune in and listen in, we'll give you those steps. Here we go.
So the first step is give, all right? Now, this is a big step, and we decided that it is that important that we're going to make it number one. Giving is such a big thing. It's been a part of my life forever. I've seen my dad and my mother model this well. They've always given unto the Lord. They gave up their first fruits, and really, the man is blessed. And I can say that my life is blessed as well because we always have given at least 10% of our income. Sometimes the Lord will ask you to give more. And on those occasions, we obeyed the Lord. And sure enough, there is a mega blessing on the other side of that. We don't give to get the blessing, but we give out of obedience. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with new wine. So there's this command, if you will, to give and give unto the Lord. As Tara talked about, it belongs to the Lord anyway. Like your money, it belongs to the Lord. It's not yours. And so, therefore, whenever you give, you're giving back what is simply His. He has allowed you to steward that money. And again, we are to steward well. Now, in the Old Testament, they had this thing in the book of Malachi. It was a law. There was a blessing associated with giving. Like if you gave 10%, and so it was in the Old Testament, it was a requirement to give 10%. And of course, you might say, well, yeah, that's the Old Testament. But Jesus also talks about giving. And I can say that as a pastor who's been giving, 10% is a pretty good place to start, you know. And if you're not clear on what 10% looks like, I have a couple of slides for you. So let's just put the first one up. So if you have $10, basically, you want to move that decimal place one to the left. So 10% of $10 is, you guys are smart. You guys are really smart. You don't even need the slide. But the next slide. $100. If you had $100, again, $10. You move the decimal over one to the left, $10 is your tithe. In case if you're still not clear, we have one more slide. So if you make $1,000, you move that decimal over to the left, $100 would be considered a tithe. Now, again, this is a good place to start, all right? Many times the Lord will call you to give even more than that. But in the Old Testament, what we see is that there was a blessing and there was a curse given. Like if you gave your tithe unto the Lord, you would be blessed. And if you did not give your tithe unto the Lord, you would be cursed. And so the words of Jesus, just to put it in New Testament vernacular, he says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And Paul, he tells the church at Corinth, kind of the same thing in chapters 9, verses 6 through 8. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can you say that with me? God loves a cheerful giver. So if you're stingy with your money and you have a boudet face on whenever it comes time to giving, just keep it. God doesn't want your money anyway. He wants a cheerful giver. Amen. So, and then he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And so ultimately, whenever we think of the word giving regarding our finances, it's all about the heart. It's your giving should be a reflection of your heart. In other words, you're so grateful for what God has done in your life, right, that it just overflows. And so your giving matches your heart. And so my wife will now talk about the next step in this.
Yeah. And I think with giving, do it first. Be intentional about doing it first. When we get paid once a month, the first thing that I do is, I'm old, and so I take out a checkbook. And I take out, and so all the checkbook lovers in house. It cost us something to give 10%. Like, I do it, like, it's the first thing. I know that it's a part of my worship, and I just, that's the first thing that I do. And I think also giving, the second thing I was thinking of as he was speaking is, it teaches your kids. Guys, I learned how to give because my parents, and he said the same. My parents are the most generous people that I know. 10% was like the low end number of how they gave. They gave to missions all across the world. They've been all over, just giving of the goodness of God. And I think so much of why me and my siblings give generously like we do is because I saw my parents. And so I want to pass that down to my kids. I want my kids, guys, the future of the church is our young people. If our young people, I mean, just honestly, if they don't give, this church dies. Not this church, the church in America, if the young people don't take this up as an initiative and say, I care about what God is doing. And we, as parents, or as the olders in the room, we get to display that to our kids. They see me. They know. They know our finances enough to know mom and dad are given 10% every single month. And it teaches them a lesson of how to give generously. Number two is save. Everybody say save. So intentionally give, intentionally save. This is like the second thing you should do whenever you get paid. Dave Ramsey, we have all kinds of resources that we're going to give you at the end of this message. And he says that you should save not if something happens, but for when something happens. It's called the Murphy's Law. Like, guaranteed, at some point, your refrigerator is going to go out, or you're going to need a pair of new tires. Or like here, like one day we walk in and the hot water heater is just dripping water in the kitchen. And I'm like, dang, you know, like there's a bill. And then we're like, oh my goodness, there's an air conditioned bill here. And then we're like, oh my goodness, the van window just crashed down. There's another bill. And you know, like that would be very concerning to me had we not had, it's still concerning, but I had a savings account that I could go into and intentionally that you were to save. Proverbs 6, this is my dad's favorite scripture. He says this all the time to us. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having a chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. So there was like a preparation of the ant, because they know that what? Winter is coming. Most animals do that. They have a preparation. And I think we have the same ability to begin to intentionally give, but then intentionally saving. And so what I encourage you, and I think you should have an emergency fund, and Dave Ramsey says this, of $1,000. Like, some of you in the room, like, that's no problem. Some other ones like, oh my goodness, I can't believe she just said $1,000. Here's the starting place of putting something into savings. Now, not savings, it's not, oh, I feel like going to Chick-fil-A, so I'm going to go into my savings and get me four meals. That's not savings, okay? Savings is something that you cannot touch. It's like you're putting it away for a future date, for when the tires go out or when the refrigerator gives way. So that is like, if you need to put it like in a lock and key, like my grandma used to bury things in the ground, you know, like I can't wait to find what she has on the walls hidden. but here we are, like, you know, if that's you, like Ted has a savings with his blow money. And literally, he made a box, because he likes to spin. And so he made a box, and then he put a lock on the box. And then sometimes I'd see him like a little saw, like trying to get to his box. And I'm like, don't do it, don't do it. You know, like that's just the mentality. Some of us are like really good savers, and some of us are like, yeah, I got some money. I'm spending it like today. And so you have to be intentional in your giving, but you have to be intentional in your savings as well. And so for us, we started here whenever we got married. I know this a little bit later. He was the spender and I was the saver. And I'm coming with a savings account. And he's like, I have a good job. I have no money. And so we had to like really come to terms with that. And one of the ways was by saving. And so we put $1,000 aside. And that can take you a while. And that's okay. That is okay if it takes you a while to look at that savings account and say, okay, I'm going to have my savings so that this is for a rainy day. This is like for the $1,000. And then you should have some savings for life goals. Like, what are your life goals? If you're young, you might be looking at a car. Like, that's the next goal. So I'm putting into savings a car. Now, if you're living with your parents, young people, save all your money because you don't need to go out every time and buy new clothes and do all these things. Really, you want to focus on these big, what I call big ticket items, a car, a house. Maybe you're looking to get into a house. And so you need a down payment. So you start chunking that money into savings, anything that you don't need, anything that's an extra. And we did this whenever we got engaged, and we're engaged, and so we're getting ready to get married, and we just said, okay, God, we're going to save intentionally the $1,000. We went and looked at our budget and started paying off debt. We'll talk about that number, step number three. And after we had done that, we said, okay, God, we're going to do 6 to 12 months of savings. Like, what does it take for us to live for 1 year? Like 1 year of savings, where if something happens, like a storm comes, you lose your job, this tragedy happens, and for some reason, you cannot work and you cannot perform like you used to be able to, that you don't have to be concerned right away and immediately, because you don't, not only do you have $1,000, you have whatever it takes you to live for 6 to 12 months. We live that way in our personal lives. We live this way at the church. There is a savings that we have that we can sustain for 1 year, that all of this can continue for 1 year, and we're just sitting there. And it's just wisdom, like, to have savings so that in case the air conditioner breaks and the van breaks and the hot water heat breaks and whatever else in the world happened, we had a savings that we weren't concerned, oh my goodness, we have to shut the place down. That's a wisdom and a wise way to look at your accounts and say 3 to 6 months, and then maybe go 6 to 12 months. And I'll never forget, we were adopting children, and we were paying off those bills, which were significant. And Ted walks in. We had like a terrible day. Like, we had lost our adoption agent person. And then Ted walks in about noon, and he walks in, and he says, I lost my job. And I was like, this is not good. You know, like, we needed that money to help pay for our kids. That evening, we were at an old building, and a car ran into our building. And about midnight, they just said, hey, this, you know, somebody ran into your building. There's a literal car in our old building. And it was one of the roughest days of our lives. But the thing I was least worried about was Ted losing his job, because I knew we had some time before we had to really be concerned about him going to find something else, a way to make a living, because we had a savings that would allow us to just breathe and make good and God-honoring decisions. So I encourage you on the front end to save $1,000. And then after we talk about step number three, on the back end, to look at your savings and make that a goal. And y'all, it's okay if that's like 2, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. These are like steps. They're baby steps. So first you save $1,000. Then you do step three. And then you come back on the back end and say, okay, I'm going to be intentional. And I'm going to have enough money in my savings account that I can sustain my way of living for 1 year. And then with the next one, this is our favorite one, and it's the good word.
Right. Who loves spending money, right?
Spending
is fun, right? I spent way too much money whenever I was growing up. If I would have saved half of what I spent, I'd be really well off. But I had a spending problem. You know, I didn't know a healthy balance of spending. And so basically what I thought was, oh, being that I was investing in my 401k, everything else was lining up. you know, basically it was like, spend it, you know. And so I did, you know, LSU tickets, Saints tickets, power tools, clothing, you name it, I spent it. And so this is not a healthy lifestyle, by the way, if you find yourself in this rut, because you're living for like material possessions, and you go after that material possession, and it's like, it's not enough. You want the next thing. And so it creates this vicious cycle of wanting the next thing and the next thing. But spending can be okay if it's balanced, if it's budgeted. And so what helped me in spending was the fact that not only I had to realize what I was spending my money on, and so I had to say, okay, well, I'm going to the convenience store every day. And, you know, every day that cost you $8 by the time you bought your energy drink, your Snicker bar, and a bottle of Coke, right? And so you're walking out $8 to $10 every single day. And then you multiply that by 365 days in a year, that's almost $4,000 just at the convenience store alone. Right. That's not counting the money I was spending eating out. I was eating out probably about 3 times a week. I was single. And so, like, that's what single people do, right? We just say, oh, I'm going to eat out, right? I don't have a wife to cook for me. I'm going to eat out. And so I would not only buy for myself, but I would buy for someone else. And so you're walking away with a bill, at least $30 3 times a week. So that's $90. Let's just say $100 times 52 weeks. That's $5,200 in a year that I was spending on eating out. It was so interesting, too, because, like, whenever Tara and I got together, it was, like, taboo for her to go eat out. Like, she felt like she was breaking something sacred, you know, whenever we would go to a restaurant. And so there had to be a healthy balance because, you know, she was a big saver and I was a spender. And so eventually she came to terms with, hey, look, I see value in eating out, and I know it's important to you. It was very important to me. So we came to like this mutual agreement. What does our budget allow us to do? You know, taking our money, the amount of money that we make, and then subtracting every bill, what do I have left? What can we budget? And so it was determined that, yeah, we can only eat out once a month, not 3 times a week. And so that was a big change for me. That was a big adjustment. But right, if I want the prize, then I have to, you know, I had to suck it up. Interesting thing. And so as I was thinking about this message, thinking about all that God has done in my life, and so there was this survey, 1,000 Americans, okay, were surveyed, and it was estimated that the average American spends $166 per month eating out. That's a lot of money, right?
Right.
Now, that's one person. So that's nearly $2,000 in a year. So that's $1,992 per year per person, all right? Now, imagine now if you have not only one, you're paying for yourself, but you and your wife, you're looking at $3,984 per year for two people. And if you have one child, you're looking at $5,976 per year for three people. And, of course, $7,968 per year for four people. You can begin to see how eating out adds up quickly. And so it's very interesting, though, because we don't really make that much in America, and especially in Louisiana. The average salary in Louisiana is $52,284. So that's 15% of what we are making, we're eating. We're eating 15% of what we're making. We're just like, we put our money where our mouth is, right? That's the saying, that's the slogan, and it's true. We put our money where our mouth is. We eat our money. Everybody just take out a dollar bill right now and just start munching on it. That's what we're doing. And so $7,968 is 15%. Now, we don't make that much as an average. Our average hourly pay is $19.88 per hour. This is the average, what we make in Louisiana. And many of you are like, man, I wish I'd be making $19.88. That's pretty good. But this is the average in Louisiana. So knowing this, it would take 400 hours to pay for four people to eat out for 1 year. Basically, 7.7 hours a week. You would have to work to pay for the amount of money you're spending eating out. And so we're working basically to eat, to feed our bellies. And I understand we have to eat, but we don't have to eat out every time. And so what my wife does is, you know, being frugal, she'll prepare a meal, she'll cook. And that meal, oftentimes, we'll eat it two or three times during the week. But we're saving money. We're not spending. In fact, we're going to come back to this in a little bit and really see, instead of spending, how we can invest it. But one scripture I want to give you, you know, whenever you pursue after things, this is such an unhealthy mindset. The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15, he says, "And he said to them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So I think this is such a healthy scripture to have in our lives. Like, if you're spending money trying to get more possessions, if you're spending money to get some sort of status, it's meaningless in the grand scope of things. Our life is more than what we spend. Our life means more. You know, it's about the people we love, the impact that we leave behind. And so my wife wants to go over with you. Y'all have a budget on your sheet. And so if you would take out that budget right quick, we're going to help you to manage your spending.
So everybody has to grab one. If you don't have one, lift your hands. We have a couple of extra right here. And so one is called a debt snowball. It's going to talk about both of them this morning. Anybody need one, a debt snowball? Pastor Ted, we got some. Look, we got some raising their hand. Just lift your hand sort of high. We'll get you. If we have some people that will help us do that, Miss Lynn. And if you need a monthly cash flow plan, can I just keep one of those, though? Thank you. So a monthly cash flow plan is one of them. It's a stapled one. And if you need one of those, raise your hand. We'll get that to you as well. This is for everybody, even young people. Now, we're doing a challenge. This whole Be Intentional series, join us on the Church Center app. Find the group calling Being Intentional. Join it. And what we're going to have is a challenge. Every week, we have a different challenge concerning like your family, your friendships, how your faith is, all those things. But this week's challenge is that you will complete the B word, which is budget, okay? And everybody say budget. I thought I would say something else. I wasn't. And so a budget, okay? This is like sort of like a foreign language to us. And so if you complete the budget, you walk in next week, you say, yeah, I completed the budget, honor system, please. You get your name in a hat. And at the end of the series, we are going to draw your name for $100, almost at $1,000. $100, whoo, $100, $100. Oh, we're going to play. We're going to play this game. $100 Visa card to where you can use however you want, maybe just to pay off debt or whatever. So looking at this this morning, so join that group. Being Intentional, it's going to have some things to help you. Or just bring this next week. We don't want to see numbers. We just want to know that you did it. Number one is called a monthly cash flow plan. So if you look at that one, this is from Dave Ramsey. You can download the app. If you're like a techie kind of person, if you're like paper and pencil, do it today. Go home today. If you were single, go and figure this out. No big deal. Go home and figure that out by yourself and look at your thing. If you're a single parent, go home with your kids. Talk this out. If you're married, go home and flesh this out. There is no my account and his account and my account. We are married. We're in this together till we die. And so we joined together our finances and said, okay, there's no hiding. There's no like his money, my money. There's nothing like that. And so we just said in our cash flow plan, here's what we make together. When you're looking at your money, your monthly cash flow plan, the first thing even Dave Ramsey has is charity, your tithes. And in fact, the first little box, which I can barely see, but hopefully you can, is how much do you make? You know, we were surprised. We did it this Thursday, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize we were making that much. You know, like, I didn't know. I just sort of randomly do it. We had did a budget years ago, and so we just looked at it again and said, that's the exact number of what we make. And I know some of you work hourly, so that just changes, and it's different. It's all right. Make an estimate. Like, this is an estimated amount of money that I take in every single month. Young people, if you make nothing, put zero. It's okay. Or if you get an allowance or you get $30 because you're, like, scrounging from somebody, put that in as your box. And then each dollar will be accounted for in your life. This was like revolutionary to us because we specifically Ted, and so we were looking at it and saying, okay, where is our money going, and how does it go so fast? And we had to be intentional about our money. And so 10% is for charity. And he even shows you, I think, some amounts at the beginning, down the beginning. He'll say, like, this is a good percentage, 10 to 15%. And just like we said, the second thing is saving. So if you can, this month, put an intentional 200, 300, whatever that looks like for you, into an emergency fund that is not for you to go out and eat, not for you to go and do something that you really wanted to do, like go to the movies because, like, there's a really good movie out. No, that, you're not touching it. I love telling my kids we don't have the money. We do have the money, but it's not in the budget for the month. And they understand that. Okay, we've already used the money that we have for going out to eat, or we've already done that. Do we have money? Absolutely. We have savings, but I'm not touching my savings for the whim of my kids because their whims are all over the place and they want everything. And so savings, housing, how much does your housing cost you? Like, just honest, like, this is how much my mortgage counts. This is how much if you have a second mortgage. If real estate taxes, you know, those get hefty. Insurances, those have increased so tremendously here in South Louisiana. But put everything down. This is how much I am spending a month. Utilities. Now, I know utilities are more during the summer and they sort of lax during the fall. Just put in an average if you want to put an average. Or if you're going to do this monthly, and you should, especially at the beginning, be intentional. What am I going to pay in electricity this month, in the month of August? You're going to pay a lot. You're going to pay a lot. So write that down. If it's gas, if it's water, if it's trash, your phones, how much are you paying for your cell phones? Put it down. Internet, cable, put all those things down. Put an average beginning of the month. Food, how much am I spending on groceries? And I just want to offer to you, on Mondays, we get groceries. If you join the Being Intentional group, we are so blessed at this church. We have been able to hand out groceries to our church members because times are rough. So if you need groceries, look in that app. I am going to personally post a picture every Monday morning of what we get in. We get some stuff from the Walmart and we get some stuff from Sam's. And I'm going to let you know, my family eats what we get in those trucks. So if we got like fish sticks, that's what we're eating for the week. Our burrito, it's random, it's crazy, but it's a way that we can save money and be more effective stewards. So join the Being Intentional app. Put your groceries down, your restaurants, your clothing, how much you're going to spend on clothing. I don't know that we have a clothing budget, so this is why you see us in the same outfits every single week, because we're trying to save money. And so transportation, how much is your gas, your oil, your repairs, your tires, your license, your taxes, your gas, and then medication and health. And maybe you pay a lot, maybe you don't, if it's a dentist, whatever it is. You account for every single dollar. Flip that page. You have insurances, whatever you're paying for your insurance, health insurance, life insurance, those kind of things. Auto insurance, especially if you have kids, that can cost you a big amount of money. And then there's personal, like childcare, sitters, toiletries. I know you can read, so you go and put every single amount, and then recreation, because it's important that you would have some time. If you have funding in your budget that will allow for, this is $100 for entertainment. This is $50 that we're saving for a vacation. I love vacations. I will save everything that we have extra, not to go out to eat. I will save it so that we can take Ted says four. I try to do two vacations a year, but I just intentionally put the money away so that my family, I just want to go on vacation. That's what I want to do. And then there's also blow money, which I don't know that I saw it on here, but what we do with blow money is it's just a spending that Ted and I have. Now, we give allowance to our kids, so every month they get an allowance of, and they do chores, they get an allowance for their chores. It teaches them how to use their money. When they get their money, the first thing they do is give 10%. We ask them, we tell them, because they wouldn't. We'd say you have to save 30%. My mom said you had to save 50%. So we said you have to save 30%. It's in an account, and they can't touch it until they graduate. It's just in their savings for that big ticket item, for the car, for the college, those kind of items. So you're looking at your money intentionally. We have blow money. Every month he gets a little bit, I get a little bit, and you can do whatever you want with it. It's fabulous. He buys tools, and I go out to eat. And so we sort of flipped a little bit. And so that's what he does, and it's ours, and it's beautiful. We never argue about finances, because that's your little money that you can use. If you want to buy another tool, I don't have anything to say about it. And he doesn't tell me anything about my money, because it's mine. It's my little portion of what we have budgeted out for blow money. And then the last thing is the debt snowball. It's on this paper, but it has your debts. Guys, go home today. If you have debt, we did. We had debt. I almost like walked out of our marriage because of the amount of debt that we had before we get married. I said, "You have what? You did what?" And we had to like really work through this together. I was a little bit like furious on the inside. I'm a saver, so I'm like here, and he's like, "Oh, I don't. I put my furniture on debt, and I have this in debt, and like so." We were after I got over the shock of being so much in debt. We said we're going to be intentional about paying off this debt. We took this debt snowball, and we listed every debt from top to bottom. Furniture. He had a drum set. We paid off. There was a drum set. How much do you owe, and what percentage of interest are they charging you? Guys, there are some of you that are paying debt on like 26% interest. You don't even know it. You just pay $40 a month, and you think, "Oh, I'm good," and you got to pay that until you're like dead, you know? But like what happens is they're just getting all of your money. They're just taking all of your money from that interest that was, maybe it was zero for 6 months or a year, and all of a sudden they come at you and they're like, "Okay, now it's 26." And they are just taking, it's easy to take your money from you. Whenever you're just paying 20 and 30, be honest about your debt. Write everything down. And here's what I love that we personally did in our own lives. We started with the debt, with the amount, not the I had the most highest interest percentage. We started the one that we owed the least on. I think it was like $1,000. It was about $1,000. We just wanted a win. So we said, "I'm going to win." So we started attacking that debt, that one bill. And every ounce of money, we quit eating out. We did free things for date nights, because we have to be intentional about that too. And so we just started attacking that debt. And then about a month, I think it was a month or so, just to pay that off. He was still working at his job at North American. And we took that money that we had paid off, and we put it on the next debt. Does that make sense? It's like a snowball. That's why it's called a debt snowball. So all of a sudden, you're feeling good. Like, wow, I paid off that debt. Have a party. Like, invite somebody over. Like, I don't know, throw some streamers up in the air. And then you go and you attack debt number two. So now, all the money that you were using on debt one is now focused on debt two. And it becomes like a snowball effect. First of all, you're excited because you're winning in your finances. And so now you're winning in your finances, and you're looking at your life, and you're saying, "Okay, now let's attack debt too." And so we did that. In fact, we sold he had a little bachelor pad house, and we sold the house. We made some money off the house, and we put all the money that we made on his truck. Like, we just paid off the debt of his truck. And we lived, most people don't know this, but we lived at the old building at Hope Extreme in a room for like a year and a half, almost, it was a year and a half. Our first year and a half of marriage, we were like just living debt free. We had paid off our vehicles, everything was good, and we were just saving money. We just lived out on Roselawn out there, and was like, "We're gonna just save money, because we wanted our big purchase to be our house." And so we were able just to pay off the debt, and not only pay off debt, we were able to lump sum that together. So your assignment this week is that you would, with whomever your significant person is or whatever that looks like, do your debt. Look at this and say, "Okay, I'm gonna do that," and then to do a debt snowball, and put those together for our last point. Here we go.
All right. This has been so instrumental in our lives.
Yeah.
Just creating a budget, seeing where all your money goes, and it has helped me to have my own spending money. Because I am a spender. For all you spenders, you know, allocating that spending money, that you still get spending money, just like maybe it's like $50 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month, whatever it may be. But instead of, you know, thousands of dollars like you were. anyway, so we encourage you to make your budget, be intentional about making your budget this week. So our last point is invest your money. So what if we already decided that we like to eat and we eat our money. So what instead of eating your money, you took that same $7,968 that it would take to feed four people at a restaurant for 1 year, all right? And you decided to invest this money in an IRA, there's Edward Jones Fidelity, and you're getting back 8%, 8%, all right? So this is an amazing thing. So what would happen after 5 years, all right, if you only added $10 a month to this amount? So your initial payment is $7,968, and you're only adding $10 a month at 8%, you would have made $12,441.75 after 5 years. After 10 years, only adding $10 a month, you're not adding the additional $7,960. You only did that once. You're only adding $10 a month. That's it. You would, at the end of 10 years, you would have made $19,015.15. After 15 years doing the same thing, you would have made $28,673.63. After 20 years, you would have made $42,865.11. After 30 years, just to say, of only adding $10 per month, you would have made $94,355.38. Now, this is really amazing, right? Like, wow, instead of eating my money, I can be setting myself up pretty nicely. That's only touching the money you eat out with. Now, imagine, like, you're looking at other things, too, that maybe you've been wasteful, like me, like convenience stores and different things, and you realize, wow, I can invest even more than that. And your money would obviously, triple. I mean, look at this. This is an astounding amount of money. Now, but what my wife said, that's good, but what if you were to every year take, instead of eating out every year, you would take $7,968 and you would invest that every year. At the end of it all, at the end of 30 years, you'd be a millionaire. $982,819.88.
And I was thinking of this. If you started that at 25 years old, you would be 25, 35, 45. At 55 years old, you would have $982,819. If you would allow that to go to your 65, that number would double to $2 million that you would have in your account, just saving $7,000 a year when you start at 25 years old. $2 million at 8% interest. That's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling what it can do whenever you don't just save and just spend, but you invest in your money.
I want to give you a scripture because, this is church and we need scriptures, right? Matthew 25:27 says, "Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." Again, so it brings you back to the point of this is God's money. And you are called to be a steward over God's money, and he's going to hold you responsible for being a steward over God's money. And at the end of it all, you can see that a better way of being a steward is investing God's money rather than eating God's money. Amen. So I hope this was helpful to you as we close this session. Really evaluate yourself. Really be honest with yourself. Really be honest and say, this is where my money has been going. I've been foolish, and God, I repent. I repent for not being wise with your money. I had to do this. I had to own up to my failures and say, God, I have not done money well. I've blown it. I've blown it on stupid stuff, things that are not eternal. And God, I ask that you forgive me. And you get yourself on course. You know, Tara was so amazed, you know, because I turned it around. I turned it around because, again, I realized having her was better than spending money elsewhere. And so I turned it around, and I believe you can turn it around as well. Yeah. You know, but it takes those small steps. It starts with making this budget, you know, accounting for every dollar. It starts with getting rid of your debt, this debt snowball, getting that first win, you know, setting yourself up so that you will prosper, not only you, but that your children coming behind you. You know, the Bible says that we are to leave a godly inheritance, you know, for our children and our grandchildren. You know, you don't want to leave them a bill, right? Like whenever you die, you don't want to say, hey, I'm glad I was your dad. Here's your bill, right? No, you want to leave them with something that will enable them, will prosper them, will help them in their life. And so we hope that you have taken these principles and this material that we have said, take it to heart, and really begin to pray about what it is that God is wanting you to do. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Bow your head and close your eyes. In fact, would you stand up to your feet? We're going to play a song. I want to speak a blessing over you guys just as we go out the doors. I know that this might be like just so much information. I want to remind you, the Q&A time right after service, we're here. Not to get all up in your financial business, but maybe just to offer some advice. You know, Ted and I, like, before we made decisions, like big decisions, like buying houses, our children, those kind of ideas, we always went to his mom and dad. His dad is always talking to us about our financial future. Like all the time, we go out, we eat at his house because it's free after on Sundays, and he'll just say, you know, like, what are you investing? What are you doing with your money? He just holds us accountable to it. And you might not have that. So we just want to offer ourselves maybe just to be a sounding board, not to direct your life by any means, but just say, what do you think about this? Or how can I start this process? I stand here as someone like, I just want to say, Ted, when we do this for marriage counseling, this lesson, and Ted has just like turned it around. Like just, it's crazy to me where we were when we got married to where we are now. Because we were in debt. We were not well and we were not healthy. But if you're just intentional and you just really say, okay, God, from now on, young people, this is my encouragement to you. Do it now. Like, think about it now. They don't teach this in schools. But the Bible is just clear that we're to be stewards of what God has given. Think about it now. Invest now. Save now. Think about those big ticket items. So can I just pray, Lord, we ask, God, that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would give us just an intentionality to stewarding our money. We're going to need your help, God. We've probably done some things our ways, and like Ted said, we repent for doing things foolishly with our money that have no eternal value. God, that we have been a lot like the world, and we just try to get things to show other people the things that we have. And Lord said, change our mindset. God, change the way that we think about money. God, help us, Lord God, when we walk out the door to be intentional. God, that means we're going to have to spend some time on this, like looking over our finances and getting rid of things, Lord, that are just like subscriptions and things that we think we need, but we don't really need. Lord God, be with us. And God, give us your Spirit, your Holy Spirit. God, give us your power and your strength. Lord, I speak a blessing. God, may you bless and protect. God, may we be the head and not the tail. God, may we be above and not beneath, Lord God. God, I thank you that you will walk with us, before us and behind us. And God, that you will hem us in as we're intentional, God, about living our life for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen and amen. We love you guys. Go get some nachos. Unless you're like saving money, then we get you. Remind yourself, we're going to stand right here. I don't know if you'll go to the front. We're just going to stay right here. I'll stay right here. I don't know. But we'll be right here for a question and answer time. We'll start in about 2 minutes. In about 2 minutes, if you have any questions. If you need to go and you want to do it at another time, come and talk to us. We're here all week.